Welcome to the Sage Sayers, my bi-weekly podcast on business communications tips and strategies and ways to find and see the gift in life's challenges. I'm your show host, DG McCullough, Debbie Gardiner McCullough. I'm an executive communications coach from New Zealand based in the state of Wisconsin. Each episode, we help you feel a little less stuck in the challenges coming up for communicators in these very trying times. And we interview those who've reinvented, triumphed, and used effective communications with themselves and others to bring positive life change. Season 4, Episode 8. My guest today is Nipur, and I'm going to end it right there and hand it over to Nipur to introduce herself.
Hi, Debbie. Thank you for having me. And hello, everyone. Just delighted to be part of this podcast. I would say Debbie and I have talked about getting on this podcast, and we started with a conversation on what is a problem solver. And I would say I am a problem solver who focuses on growing revenue and profitability for companies. And doing so, I've worn different hats, spanning across product management, business strategy and operations, program management, at companies like Juniper, Brocade, Motorola Solutions. So I guess you can guess that I am based in the Bay Area.
Oh, lucky you. Such a beautiful part of the States.
Well, thank you. And I'm currently at Salesforce in the customer success organization, where I lead product management for the success plans for some of our products.
That's beautiful, Nipur. And you've worked across two continents, right? Both the States and Asia?
That's correct. My first job was in an R&D organization in India. And I started as an engineer, and then through that, moved into product management, and I've been involved with several business transformation programs and continue to love the art of product management.
Love it. I love it. And even your voice goes up just a little when you're talking about product management, and I have more questions there. And we've been talking about this show for a while and bringing you to the show. And the first spark, I think, was just realizing there are a lot of challenges that communicators face when demystifying and explaining technical concepts in clear, brief ways that don't lose their audiences. In fact, I can say from my coaching practice, feedback from performance reviews from either directly from leaders or from peers that they're not being clear and they're remaining confusing is one of the most popular requests for my help. I know there's pressure to keep things brief. I know there's pressure to keep things clear, but that can become even more intense as we rise in organizations or as entrepreneurs. And when having to explain how to fix, tweak, or build something to impatient audiences like executives, investors, or VIP customers, it's even trickier. And with that, I wondered, what do you see in your work, Nipur, and in your life as some of the bigger challenges getting in the way of communicators, especially when having to demystify something complex or tricky?
Yeah, Debbie, that's a great point, especially about that, you know, the demystification, as you say. I would say, in my experience, context is one of the most important things when you're explaining something, or more importantly, answering questions or, you know, getting into complex situations or concepts. And what you really need to think about is not just hearing what people are saying, but also listening to what they're asking for or what they're looking for, which you think they would be looking for from that conversation or that presentation or that answer, you know, fill in the blanks.
And do you mean just asking them directly? Because that's something that I think gets in the way, especially of my new rising leaders or those who've come from cultures where there's more hierarchy between the top tier of the organization and the mid to, you know, upper middle. And they just get stuck with even asking, how much do you want to know? Or from what perspective? Or how technical do you want me to stay? You know, what do you see? Do you think it's worth it to just just blurt it right at the front?
You know, you can start there. But I would say the very savvy communicators or those leaders who can speak. And when I say leaders, I'm not talking about the hierarchy of titles, but real, you know, leaders from a 360 degree leadership perspective, they know their audience. Mm. And they understand their audience.
Mm.
And when there is indeed, you know, doubt, you can always play back and saying, this is what I'm hearing you're looking for. And, you know, you can kind of go from there and say, here's the big picture. Would you like to get more detail? Would mm-hmm. you want to dive deeper? But usually a good communicator or a great communicator will know what their audience is looking for. And that's where one strategy has really worked for me in these concepts is to use common analogies. Mm. So you're building bridges and you're using a concept that is more universally understood. And that can be a great way to communicate. And then people will start to get into the next level, peeling the onion or, you know, getting into the next level of the details as needed.
And when you say use a metaphor or an analogy, something mm-hmm. relatable, something non-technical, like what have you found works well for Uniper?
It can be either. I'll give you an example. In my current role, you know, I work with other product managers who are also working on similar things that I am. So when I started my role, I gave them an analogy of say, you know, they were like, okay, well, you're working on this. I'm also working on this product. So, you know, what does it mean? And I gave them an analogy of saying, you're building the ice cream and I'm putting flavoring in the ice cream.
Oh.
And I went to the next level and saying, and I'm making sure that I'm not creating a gelato or a sorbet. I'm going to stick to the ice cream because you are the one who's describing the ice cream. So we're taking a very, you know, I wouldn't say complex always, but a very technical customer success offer kind of a thing or define. We're talking about a product that they're defining and I'm defining together. But I'm saying, here's another product. Ice creams. And, you know, and I communicated that way. And I have to tell you, every time I've used that analogy in what I do versus some of the other peers in my team, in my broader team do, people understand it because they can relate to an ice cream versus a sorbet and the flavoring in the ice cream.
I love that. And I love the universality of the image as well. Like what culture doesn't understand ice cream? So that's really beautiful, Nipur. And can I share something else I know that you are excellent at from our friendship and work together?
Absolutely.
A random compliment.
I'm keen on knowing that too.
Yeah, well, I think you're excellent. When I've come to you with technical issues I'm facing, you're expert to me at keeping the language simple without patronizing. And that is, I don't know, I think that's quite a fine and delicate art. Do you accept the compliment? And if so, what's your thought process there?
Well, first of all, thank you so much. I wish my daughter would hear and agree.
Oh, it's funny because when I offered that compliment, I was thinking of someone in my own family who's not quite so good with the removing the patronizing tone. It's quite hard, I think, when you're frustrated, though, in his defense. You know, it's quite hard if someone doesn't get it. When it's very clear to you, but you seem calm when you explain technical things to me or anything to me really, but you also keep the language relatable.
Yeah, no, I appreciate it. There's a couple of things I always keep in mind, and that is about knowing your audience. You know, the analogies that I might use with you on a concept might not be the same analogies I use with my husband. He and I worked as engineers together, so I can use analogies from, you know, technology experience.
Mm-hmm.
That's number one. And it's about not just analogies, but it's about being able to tailor the message to your audience. And the second is, you know, again, I'll go back to that empathy in the communication. Because we're so often in a hurry to answer or share. Mm. You know, I remember a long time ago, a mentor said, you've got to listen when you're in a meeting, not wait for your turn to say what you have to say. And that stuck with me because, you know, we're all in a hurry to get things done.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, being empathetic in your communication, understanding what are they thinking? What is the speaker thinking or the person you're having a conversation with thinking, and what they're feeling, what's top of mind for them is important. And I will tell you, the reason I you know, it seems like you were thinking the same way, we're often guilty of not doing that more in our personal lives.
Right.
Where we not even take the time to acknowledge what the other person is saying or giving them the context on why you're saying what you're saying. It's the, you know, Simon Sinek says this a lot, start with why.
Mm-hmm. Why is this hard? In this context would be, why is it hard? Or why is it a struggle? Or
His context is different. It's like, why are you saying what you're saying? Or why do you want to do this? Not the what. But I, you know, there is some truth to, like, why are you saying what you're saying? Why do you want somebody to do what you want them to do? So.
Yeah, I love that too. And any other additional?
What about your experiences, Debbie? Before we move on, what are your experiences in, like, the ways in which communicate, your experiences or your, you know, lived experiences and different ways in which people communicate?
Yeah, through the lens of demystifying things that are complex. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's the older I get, I'm in my early 50s now, Nipua, and I think the older I get, the more I realize that effective communications, whether it's technical topics or other, really ties to confidence and presence, slowing down, like you said, listening well, listening actively, noticing when you've lost someone. So I have been midstream as a professor teaching live classes online for a large business program where I taught for 5 years, and I noticed I'd lost my students. It was really apparent to me. I could just see it in their eyes. I was watching as I presented, and I knew exactly where I'd lost them when we were getting into the nitty-gritty on a particular grammatical rule that most of the class were still stuck on, and I knew they were stuck because I'd evaluated their work that week. So I noticed it, and I paused. And I could have kept droning on and on and just saying it in a different way, but I didn't. I paused and I asked, where did I lose you? I know this is tricky. Which part of it's not gelling yet? And that, I think, is one approach that I really used a lot as a coach, because when I'm in one-on-one coaching calls, I'm, again, very observant, noticing body language, eyes shifting, size, all of that. I think that's one. So being really present. I guess the more I stay in the space of coaching, Nipur, I'm noticing more and more the role that culture has on our communication skills, especially when in managing up or working or communicating with tricky stakeholders.
Yeah,
it really does play a much bigger role than I realized until I became an executive coach. And lingering cultural learnings are something that I think we need to speak more to. Publicly, privately, with our friends and with our coach or a mentor we trust. Because once you're aware of it, the awareness is huge. And I think once we're more aware of our cultural learnings, for instance, many women I coach who come from India, many report feeling, well, actually men and women have told me there's this real humility culture where you're not supposed to be braggadocious or promote yourself or your team.
Right.
And when they're forced to or need to, because others expect them, it can really make them overly long-winded and unclear and ambiguous. But it's really tying not back to their ability to communicate. It's tying back to their discomfort with the message and trying to figure out where they sit within that message. Isn't that interesting? What does that spark in you at all?
No, it's fascinating, and I agree with you. Culture plays a big aspect in how we communicate, because that's how... No, those are the norms, and you kind of, you know, and beyond that, it becomes value system as well.
Mm-hmm.
I would say that oftentimes when you're communicating, it doesn't always have to be about telling people what you know. You talked about confidence, and I would say that is a big part of it. Because framing it in terms of, I want to bring about an idea and share that idea for the common good of this group is the part that really has to be front and center. Not versus, oh, I want to make sure that I have, you know, it's kind of like checking the box. I spoke in this meeting or I spoke in this classroom. And I would say, yeah, you're right. Because like, you know, in the classroom, I went to business school in the US. You know, our kids have grown up in the school system here in California. And there's always this participation points, right? That's important. And people translate that to, oh, I have to raise my hand and say something in the classroom and check the box and go. And it creates that culture of, I got to say something, or I got to be seen in the meeting, versus I want to enrich the conversation, or I want to share something that would be useful for all the people who are listening in this conversation. Or I can tell, I want to share something that others may not be aware of or may not know of. It's elevating the conversation or elevating the discussion that you have to go with versus I want to be heard.
Yes, that is so different. And how do you, I know we're almost at time, but how do you help yourself stay within that intention? I will speak to enrich this conversation. What's your ritual to get back to that presence piece and clarity? It's presence, it's clarity, it's truth, it's a lot of beautiful things.
It's all of those. We talked about it being present, and the way one of the rituals I have is, it's very simple to say, but I gotta tell you, it's very difficult to do, especially in our work lives that we have, where you're running from one meeting to another. I make sure that I give every meeting I go to, when most of the time, at least in the morning or the night before, I look at my calendar, look at what the meetings are, and then kind of say, okay, what is it that I'm looking for? What is it that the person who's called this meeting is looking for? And I'll often reach out to them and say, what are you looking for in the meeting? How can I contribute? What are you looking for from me? You know, you early on you said, how do you, you know, can you clarify? I think it's totally fine to say, what are you looking for me?
Yeah. Why am I here? Thank you for inviting me. Here? What's the biggest value I bring?
Exactly. So,
what about, thank you for inviting me. How can I enrich the meeting the most?
Love it. That's exactly what I say, versus, oh, I have to be in every meeting that I'm invited to, or I want to be in every meeting because I want to listen in. Sure, there might be some that you want to listen in for, but more importantly, how am I contributing to this meeting?
Beautiful, Nipur. So sweet and brave at the same time, I think, because it requires direct communications, it requires honesty, but it's also really revealing and sharing your values. You value efficiency, productivity, time management, productivity, moving things forward. Yeah, it's a fantastic strategy.
Absolutely. All of those things.
So in closing, what is some final offerings or final guidance? And I will bring you back. We have so much more to discuss, including AI and writing. There's a lot for us to chat and unpack in the future. But just to end this delightful exchange, what are some parting words of wisdom or advice you want to offer those communicators who often have to speak and describe complex topics to those who may not have a lot of technical ability but want to understand?
I would start with the end in mind. What is your goal from this conversation? What do you think the people you're going to be having this conversation with are looking for from this conversation? If we all kind of take a few minutes to kind of introspect, to be thoughtful about where and what we want to get out of that conversation, it will, A, give us that efficiency you talked about. More importantly, it's going to bubble up where you're not clear or where you don't have context. So you can start with the questions.
Mm-hmm. Fantastic.
You know, start with questions to bring us all on the same page before we have that conversation.
Fantastic. Fantastic. Thank you so much, Nipur. Will you come back to the show?
I would love to. Thank you for your time.
Oh, thank you for your time. It was wonderful having you with me. You enjoy the rest of your night, okay?
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye. You've been listening to The Sage Sayers. Thank you to my coaches for inspiring every episode. Thank you also to my excellent producer, Dota Nayini, and my friend, of course, who brings elegant edits every time. And if you'd like to reach out to me for coaching, training, or to become a guest on the show, email me at hangingrockmedia@gmail.com. Visit my website, hangingrockcoaching.com, or you can find me on LinkedIn via the show notes. Bye-bye for now. Oh, my.